Well, good morning again. Am I on? Thank you. Thanks, Donald.
Is that on? Sorry, I'm sorry about that. Right, well, here we are then. Right, first of all, thanks. Thank you for my willing volunteers for the children's talk. That was very, very helpful, thank you. Thank you for communion. That was lovely, actually, and very, very, very encouraging. I bring with me again the... I give you again my greetings. I bring with me greetings from. Is that me again?
Mobile phone.
It sounds like mobile phone.
It might be. Gosh, do you know? I'm not doing very well, am I? I turned it off, but it. Is that because? Is that okay?
Yeah,
yeah, sorry. Oh, dear. Well, I have been asked back. Whether I'll be asked back again is another thing coming. But anyway, so I bring with me greetings from Wood Green Evangelical Church. And I love coming here. It's a lovely fellowship, so thank you. And the ladies' fellowship when I come on a Monday, it's just so encouraging, so thank you for that. Let's turn to God's Word, and it's in we're looking at Philippians this morning. And Philippians 1, and verses 27 to 2:11. God's word says this: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's lovely to see the children this morning. Lovely to see them as they're looking at those things and thinking, which way should it go, actually? Isn't it good? It's a real, real helpful thing to bear in mind as we look through this passage from Philippians. My little title is Philippians 1, 27-11, A Distinctive Christ-like Attitude. A Distinctive Christ-like Attitude. There's a dictionary definition I found a distinctive on the other day, which says this. One dictionary definition says this. Distinctive is different in a way that it is easy to notice. Distinctive is in a way that it is easy to notice. So as a Christian, whatever happens, we are called to live in a way that is distinctive, that allows us to stand out, to shine out, and in a way that brings credit to the gospel message. That is to be worthy of the good news of Christ Jesus. Paul writes this in verse 27, does he not? Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you're standing firm. See, it's a significant issue for us as Christians. It's a significant issue for us as Christians in a fallen world with our fallen natures, that actually what we crave for in our human fleshly way is to have recognition and human recognition. In other words, to become pleasers of men. And we need to look and examine our motivation. You know, if your service depends on the man at the front and whether he or whoever sees that, then what do you do when that person leaves or is called home to glory? Do you find that very discouraging when you're no longer recognised in that way? The trouble is, of course, that we respond to our fleshly nature. We want to take credit. We want to be seen to be doing well. And it's instilled in us, isn't it, from a very young age. Do well, please. Do well at school. We actually need to be thinking about pleasing God, not being men pleasers. It might be because we've got issues of low self-esteem. Something that's happened in our lives that has caused us to feel that we are of no worth. And so we're constantly, in a fleshly way, trying to compensate for that. I want to do well. I want to be seen to be doing well. Please affirm me. Please tell me I'm doing well. A lack of confidence, perhaps. Something that's chipped away. Might be a parent. Might be a teacher. Might be a bully. Has eroded your confidence over the years. And you're constantly wanting to have reassurance. Because you're looking to men to be affirmed. And not to God. So we may have this low self-esteem or lack of confidence. You might spend a whole lifetime trying to gain it back by being men pleasers and not working for the Lord. Paul makes the point, doesn't he? The Christian believer serves sacrificially, whether these things are being seen by Paul or not. He says this, doesn't he? Whatever happens, whether I'm with you or not, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Why is that? Well, of course, actually, others see you. Doesn't matter what, whether your pastor is here or not, whether your elder sees what you're doing, whether it's here in this place on a Sunday, or whether it's out in the community, others are looking. In the workplace, others are looking. You know, for those of you that work amongst non-Christians, and if you've told them, if you've shared, which of course you need to be sharing with them, that we're, you know, what is it that makes you different? What makes you distinctive is that you are believing in Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. You're working for him and you're doing a good job. Not for, you know, money at the end of the month. Not for men pleasing. But you're doing it actually for Jesus. You're doing it for God. What makes you different? What makes you go the extra mile? It's because you're a Christian. You need to be sharing that. Now, of course, then there comes a catch, isn't there? You've shared that you're a Christian. You've shared that you're working in this way for your Lord. What happens when you're caught out? What happens when you, if you are caught out? What happens if you are negative about somebody? What happens if you don't guard your tongue as you should? We're not looking to be men pleasers, we're looking to be pleasers of our Lord. Our service is for God, and we should be doing the best we can to serve him sacrificially. Helped and guided, of course, by the God, by God, Holy Spirit, and God's Word in balance, pointing away from ourselves to him. Remember that that verse in Colossians 3:23. It says, doesn't it? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. This is part of our high calling as a Christian, dear brothers and sisters. It's a hard, hard walk, and we do no one any favors when they become Christians, to give them the sort of impression that it's anything but a hard walk. Actually, it's not an easy walk as a Christian, is it? It's a hard walk. We're called to love one another as Jesus loves us. You know, John 13:34 gives that new commandment, doesn't it? You know what a high calling that is. To love one another as Christians, as he loves us. In this passage here, we have another new directive. We are called from Paul. We're called to live lives that are worthy of the gospel good news. Now, that's not applying any pressure, is it? You know, we are to live lives that is worthy of the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ has come, has died on the cross. We've just been remembering it around the communion table, and shed his blood for each and every one of us. We are to live lives that are worthy of that. What a high calling. What a high calling. Both of these things are distinctive, aren't they? Both of these things are integral to our Christian walk and witness. It's what makes us distinctive in a fallen world. And Jesus says that by this all men will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another as Jesus loves us, it's distinctive. It's agape, sacrificial love. Paul says that by living lives worthy of the gospel, standing side by side, it says, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. That is significant. That is significant for us in church. The unity that the New Testament talks about, that Paul talks about time and time again, that Jesus talks about, that the New Testament as a whole talks about. This unity is so precious. It's so precious. It's so important. Because it's so distinctive. It's not like the world where it's every man for himself. And it shows if we're distinctive in that way, if we are actually unified in that way, then when Paul says, look, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, we can stick together. We're not frightened by all the scare stories about how this country is going to go when it's overtaken by Muslims, or that it's so secular, which it is already, of course, that, you know, God's laws are ignored. God's laws are for God's people. And our relationship with God, Jesus, that's what's important. We are not to be frightened in that way. We're not to respond to those scare stories about how awful it's going to get. Yes, it is going to get worse. I'm sure it's going to get worse. But we are sticking together. We are unified. We're not to be frightened. And by the fact that we are not frightened, we're not intimidated by being taken to court and to prison and to all sorts of awful things that are going to happen. Already happening, because we're standing up for God's word and not what the government decides are national laws. We're not being frightened. We're being firm, loving, not judgmental. But in that way, it's a sign. It's a sign that they will be destroyed. It's a sign that we will be saved. And that by God. Coming on to chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. By being like-minded, we've heard it this morning already, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You know, these are things that we've seen already. These are things of the flesh. These are things, you know, when I was talking to the children, if I'd had time, what I'd like to have gone on to say is, look, these things don't come together. You can't mix oil and water. You can't have things from the dark in with the light. It's important that we stand side by side. It's important that we love one another as Jesus has loved us. We're called to this precious unity as Christ's church, his bride, to behave in this distinctive way. Well, how do we function in this way? You know, how should we behave? Well, we need to follow our master, our Lord Jesus Christ, and imitate him. This isn't something that could be manufactured. You know, people spot that a mile off, don't they? Superficiality. Smiley, you know, hypocrisy. That you behave in one way, in one situation. You behave another, in another way, in a completely different situation. We have to rely on God, Holy Spirit, to help us to become more like Jesus. We must be determined to harness our own will and put to death our sinful natures with the help of God's Word and God's Holy Spirit, well balanced in our lives. So what does a church look like that's being obedient in this way? Well, we've already said it's not going to be look like a frightened church. You know, we must remember we're on the victorious side. Whatever competition you're used to in this world, whatever, you know, whether you're into football or whatever it might be, you know, conflicts down the ages, Olympics last year, you know, you don't know what the outcome is going to be when you start those things. But our battle is distinctive. We know already we're on the victory side. We need to act like we know we're on the victory side. And this church, this body, with this precious unity, should be obvious to all. We shouldn't be undermining one another. We shouldn't not be, you know, we should be contending as one man in this battle, not selfishly putting our own fleshly ambitions first, but be humble. We heard that this morning. Come with humility like Jesus our Lord. Be builders of godly men and women. It starts at a young age. And it's easy to see that, isn't it? It's easy to see with our children that we want to build them up. We want to encourage them in the Word. We want to send them off and have a good time up there, having looked at what we've looked at this morning. But what about each other? You know, when you get older, you start to become perhaps irritating to one another. John Stevens, I think I may have said this here before, but anyway, I'll say it again, you know, because it always sticks in my mind. If there's somebody in the fellowship that's irritating, what do you do? What must you do? Put them down. Put them down on your prayer list. Pray for them. Come to them in all humility. If you've annoyed somebody, or if you're finding somebody annoying, pray about it. Come to the Lord about it. Ask for forgiveness. Ask yourselves this morning. You know, do you enjoy encouraging those around you? Do you enjoy encouraging those around you? It's easy, isn't it, to encourage those that you like, that you get on with, your kindred spirits? I find that very easy. What about the person who really grates, really annoys you? Always very, you know, he's the opposite sort of personality. If you're a quiet, shy person, how do you feel about those people that are very upfront and very loud and like a, a bull in a china shop, knock things over like chairs and all that sort of thing. How do they grate on you? How do you feel about encouraging those people? That's what we're called to do. You know, are you here this morning and you're thinking, I prefer, if you really ask yourselves the question, I prefer to be in the know. I prefer to be using information as power. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel important. It makes me feel like I have a role. It makes me feel like, actually, I have some self-esteem. How often have you given in to gossip in the guise of prayerful purpose? You know what I mean by that? Passing on juicy bits of information in the guise of, well, of course, it's only for prayer. It's only for prayer. I wouldn't say this to anybody else. It's only for prayer. It's not helpful. It's not helpful. It's not godly. It's not building up the fellowship. It's not building up each other. It's doing the absolute opposite. The devil rejoices when we are not in unity. The devil rejoices when we're not in unity. The devil rejoices when we're not following our master, our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God, fully God, fully man, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. He became nothing. He became nothing, and he spilt his blood for you and me. His body was pierced for you and for me. And for our filth, for our sin, his body has cleansed us so that we become acceptable and beautiful. You know, as I look around here, as you look at me, you know, now a little bit more portly than probably the last time I was here, a bit greyer, I'm decaying, quite honestly. I am decaying. But we all are. But we are beautiful. If you know Jesus, if you know the Lord, if you're saved, if you're regenerate, if you've been washed in his blood, it's cleansed completely. When I look in the mirror, I think, oh golly, I'd rather not look in the mirror. But I'm beautiful to God. You're beautiful to God. You need to be serving him, not worrying about being man pleasers. Pleasing God. Be imitators of Christ, not power mongers. Humble, not self-seeking. Pray that God will make you more like Jesus. Pray that God will make your mind full of his agenda and not your earthly, fleshly agendas. You know, why do I do this? Why do I do that? Sometimes it's good to examine why we do, what our motives are even, isn't it? It's been nothing of us, all of him. You know, I cut the sheet up this morning before I came. As I was cutting up, I put the little bits in the box for the children to draw out. And in the team that was with the torch and was light, I'd chosen things from Galatians: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then I put things in there as well: swearing, lying, cheating, stealing, jealousy, pride, bullying, telling tales. And I was wanting to show the children that, look, these don't mix. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. You can't have the one in with the other. If you're saying, this is me, this is where my colours are hoisted upon Christ, I've nailed my colours to the mast. I can't have any of this. But then I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, lying, stealing, jealousy, pride, bullying, telling tales. I have to say, with great sadness, that I see it in the church. It's desperately sad. We're called to be distinctive. But I see it in the church. Stealing in the church? Well, do you know you can steal somebody's reputation? By running someone down? By doing that sort of little sort of insidious comments that aren't exactly, you know, well, I didn't actually say exactly that, but, you know, just, it gets in. Cheating, jealousy. Are you sitting here jealous this morning of someone? Am I proud because I'm up here? I pray to God that I'm not. Are you trying to bully your way to have your own way in this place? Are you telling tales on one another? Well, it's not as clear-cut. It's not as clear-cut as that. It's good for the children to see those things. It's good to hear that. And I do hope some of them get Pilgrim's Progress for Christmas. But sadly, talking to you as dear brothers and sisters, we have to be so mindful of how we guard ourselves. And the only way you can do that is with balancing Word and Spirit, spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer, constantly asking God, Holy Spirit, to show us how we can be more like Jesus. Let me say it again to you. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. This is for us, this is our call, to be made himself, but made nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, servant-hearted love, servant-hearted, self-sacrificial, agape love is the only way. You know, if we're focusing on pleasing God, not men, that is helpful. If we're leading lives that are distinctive, worthy of the gospel, however daunting that might seem, by maintaining all the precious Christian unity, by this self-sacrificial love, the common denominators here are love. Love. If you love one another self-sacrificially in that way, the way that Jesus has asked us, it covers all these things. You don't want to get involved in any of the other things. It helps you guard your tongue. It helps you build up and not pull down. The common denominators are sacrificial love, unity, obedience, and the common outcome is a distinctiveness as a wonderful body of Christians in this place, in the church, nationally. What a difference it'll make. What a difference it'll make. Well, I pray that that has been encouraging this morning. And we're going to look now to our final hymn, which is hymn. Thank you. From heaven you came, precious babe, our Lord Jesus Christ, make himself the servant king.